just a little bit. Gary, if you could come forward. You've probably all had the opportunity to read the bio that's in our bulletin on Gary. So I think I'll just take the opportunity to share a few things that it's not in the bio. I met Gary playing pickleball. He taught me what it means to be pickled. not from an alcoholic aspect, but from the aspect of when he can hit the ball at your feet and you can't seem to get the paddle there to hit it, that's what we call being pickled. And he knows how to pickle people. But I think it was a golden opportunity to have met Gary. As the bio states, he's originally out of California. He spent 15 years in the Army. And since then, he's been 23 years in service to the Lord. Anything from youth ministry to senior pastor.
And assistant Sunday school director.
And a Sunday school director. And we don't always take the opportunity, but his wife Diane is here with us as well. And I'm sure all of us guys have to admit that the women are our better half. They keep us in line. And I'm sure that Diane has a challenge with Gary.
Long time.
So just a few things that we typically do. I told Gary that we usually do a children's sermon. So what I didn't tell him was typically we have the children come up, and Catherine took them. Okay. So I guess it's fair to share with Gary that when Dan does the children's sermon, there are more of us that pay attention to the children's sermon than the rest of the sermon. So if you do want to share your children's sermon,
sure,
please be my guest. No. I was going to point out that we have a chair that we usually take and sit down with the young ones, but Catherine was faster than me. So with that, please welcome Gary, and we'll look forward to his message.
All right. Thank you. I think if I can figure this one out, I've never... All right.
The mic can turn it off, that's
right. And you know when to turn it off, right? Okay. Anyway, a little what he didn't tell you, I put in my bio because I don't want people to go and think that's what my main thing is. I'm also a puppeteer. My wife and I use puppets a lot. And I've done puppets since my sister, she passed away a few years ago, but she used to hand make puppets, and I couldn't do that, so I bought puppets. So we've been doing puppets about as long as I've been married to Diane. That's been 23 years. And it's strange when he said, well, hey, you can go with your children's message. I go, you know, I do a lot of children's stuff, but... if it looks like I'm too technical, no, I just don't write well, so I put it all in type. But I am so happy to be here. I was excited to meet Rick and Marla, and I'm not sure, I think some didn't know that Marla's birthday is the same day, same year as mine. So we're both young, okay? And, I want to say that I'm actually with a Spring Valley Community Church, but I came here for your congregational singing. That's where I met a lot of y'all. The one I know for a long time is that kind of old, crusty guy in the back there, who he's turned his head now because he doesn't want to be honest. But years ago, when I was a pastor out of Wonder Valley. I'm not still not too cool with this stuff here, so I came here and did VBS for their church. My wife and I brought some of my people from Winter Valley, and we just had a great time being VBS. You know what? I'm having some issues here. I should have never done this. I should have just thought that I could do this on my own. But anyway, my daughter Michelle, Michelle Bowersox, I don't know if anyone knows her. She was a member of what is now Generations Church. But we enjoy VBS. I like VBS because I'm the guy with the kid that does the sign language and the singing and the dancing and get them all dressed up to look kind of silly. And I miss doing VBS. But we've been coming here, actually, for a couple years now. But what I wanted to bring out is what my message is. Now, if you looked on my bio, it says the message is action figures. Now, I'm not sure if you all recognize this guy right here. You know, I don't know if he can stand right there. Whoop, he doesn't stand very well. Captain America. Okay? Now, we all know who Captain America is, right? Now, what I would do with the kids right now, I'd ask, well, who is your favorite superhero? You all have any superheroes? No? Oh, yeah, Superman. Remember the black and white one? Okay. Batman, Captain America, the Wolverine, the Hulk, all them sort of things, that series, the Hulk. Well, these were all actually action figures because what we know them for is they were always doing something to save the world. And kind of like that's what we as Christians are here through Jesus Christ is to help save the world. But as we know, sometimes they fail. There's times I've seen Superman kind of get down that one ditch. I can remember a series. He was down the ditch, that old stuff that would mess with him, make him weak, the kryptonite. He was all in this one cave and down the thing, and he couldn't hardly get out until someone put a board and he flew out of it. Old Christopher Reeves, right? But what I like to kind of bring it back to today, who some of our action figures are, and how sometime at the end, I hope you'll all understand that you all are superheroes. You are all action figures. But I start with the story, not a true story. Now, a while back, the security staff at the Los Angeles International Airport, LAX, they made a key security breakthrough. These earnest, strong people who ensure our safety when we fly by airplane confiscated a 2-inch plastic knife. 2 inches in plastic. And it was a plastic toy rifle that was accompanied by a G.I. Joe toy. Now, it had been purchased by a British tourist in Las Vegas. And apparently, the toy gun was considered a dangerous weapon. Now, a spokesman for the airport said this: "We have instructions to confiscate anything that looks like a weapon or a replica." So, if G.I. Joe was carrying a replica, then it had to be taken from him. So, I want you all to be assured today that we can breathe easier thanks to our friends at LAX. G.I. Joe is no longer a danger. Okay? So I wonder how many of us here in this room today have ever had a G.I. Joe. Well, I knew you would. You G.I. Joes. You even had a G.I. Joe? Awesome. Oh, yeah, well, okay. That's awesome. See, now everybody knows that boys don't play with dolls, right? Boys don't play with dolls, right? No, let's get that right. Boys and some girls play with action figures. Thanks, this young lady right here being honest with herself. But super endowed heroes like Spider-Man and Batman and Power Rangers and even Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Now, and others. Now, the action figure market has really enlarged in years gone. And during a certain presidential election, now I'm not going here, I'm just saying, but during a certain presidential election, you could go to a site on the internet called herobuilders.com and purchase a George Bush action figure or a John Kerry action figure. Now, or you could go to www.trainupachild.com and you could find biblical action figures, including a Jesus action figure. Or you could even go to a third one, which is action-figure.com and enjoy a hilarious spoof of the whole idea of Jesus as an action figure. Now, as we all know, yes, at this time in our lives, with what's going on with our society, we need superheroes. We need to learn that superheroes stood up for morals, and they stood up for all the good things. We all yearn to see more heroes today. We yearn for people of action. Now, this may have been George W. Bush's greatest asset in his last election. Whether you agree with his policies or not, he was being perceived as a man of action. Now, Mr. Kerry, on the other hand, is viewed as a cautious man, a man who would give excessive thought to the problems before acting. Now, we as people, we don't like a lot of politicians who think too much. Amen? We don't want to have them thinking too much on what's going on in the world. But Governor George Wallace said at one time, used to call them pointy-headed intellectuals. Now, we as a people want John Wayne as president instead of Jean-Paul Sartre. We admire people of action, and in some ways, so does God. People like Abraham and Matthew. Now, most of us know Abraham's story. But do you remember Matthew's story? Well, let me start with reading, just to refresh our memory, Abraham's story. We're going to go to Romans 4, 13 through 25. And now I know you probably are uncomfortable. I have a New King James Version and I have a New Living Translation. Oh, it's already there. Thank you. See, I'm not used to that. That's awesome. Let's just read this from here. It says, "For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law," adherent means those who follow the law, "but also to the ones who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead," okay, "and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Wow, huh? Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone." Now, what we mean by that, it wasn't just for him, it's for all of us. "But for ours also, it will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Praise God for God's word today. It's so awesome that it could come down to us, clear back from Abraham. But as we go on with our message today, that here was Abraham, nearly 100 years old, his wife, a mere girl of 90. Yet that didn't keep Abraham from believing God's promise that he would be the father of nations. Now that's faith, isn't it? To know, to be a father of faith, to have that title, that legend, to be able to go as the story goes, God would tell him to go somewhere, he never questioned. He just went. And he did become the father of many nations. And it's an amazing story. And before that, Abraham showed himself to be a man of action when God called him to leave his comfortable home and venture to new areas and new countries that God would show him at the time. I mean, I know a lot of us want to know where we're going before we get there, but that's not Abraham. We know that. God just says, go there. Well, where do I go? Where I tell you. Okay. How many of us can go with that? That's a tough decision to make. But that's what we're talking about, action figures today. See, Abraham didn't hesitate. He didn't question. God said, and this is my translation, it's not going to find it in the Bible anywhere. God said, jump, and Abraham asked, how high? Now, Matthew's story is not merely as dramatic, but he still was an action figure. Can we go to Matthew 9, 9-13? All right. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. That's the key. He told Matthew, rise and follow me. And Matthew rose and followed him. How many of us can sit there and say when someone tells us to go, let's go, wait a minute, where are you taking me? What do you want me to do? Matthew just stood up and left. So as we go on to see what Matthew's story goes, is that he was one of those dreaded and despised tax collectors. And you know, we like tax collectors, right? Now, we read about so often in the scriptures, Jesus saw Matthew sitting there at the tax office and he said to him, follow me. That's all he said. I'm not telling you where to go. Now, if I come to you, sir, say, I want you to come with me, let's go. You're like, no, I don't think so. All right? But see, this is what we're saying is such a difference with Matthew's story and Abraham's the same way. And it said that as we sit there, it goes, he said to him, follow me. And the Gospel of Matthew tells us that he immediately rose and followed him. Action figures. Action figures. No discussion, no negotiations, no questions about fringe benefits or perks. Christ spoke, he obeyed. Whoa. Christ spoke, and he obeyed. Action figures. You know, the Jewish rabbis used Moses and their Exodus to emphasize the importance of taking action. You see, the story is told that, just to briefly go over the story, the story is told that as Moses reached the water of the Red Sea, he called on God to open a way through it. But nothing happened. And all the while, Pharaoh's chariots were closing in on him. You remember that in the Bible. He prayed and he cried, and as he did, Moses' words had no effect. Wasn't taking him anywhere. So Moses did a very brave thing. In desperation, or was it with conviction? He stepped into the sea anyway. Then and only then, when his big toe touched the water, did sea make way for the Hebrews to cross. Yes, there are times in our world today, in our churches today, in our congregations today, that when more than prayers and good intentions are called for, At such times, nothing will suffice except action. So a person, I want to talk about a couple things here. Many Christians, now I don't want anyone to take exception, but I want you to understand I come with pretty true stories or true words, and please don't be offended. It says, but did you know that many Christians are good people, but they are not people of action? See, according to Pastor Joseph Stowell, there are two Greek words in the New Testament that are used the most for the concept of good. First one is agathos, A-G-A-T-H-O-S, refers to being good in character, upright, and moral. Kalos, K-A-L-O-S, refers to doing good things. A person can have agathos without having kalos. In other words, his goodness of character never translates into compassionate action. Now, I'm not asking for hands, but in your own mind, you know of anybody like that. Good people, good intentions, but they don't step out as much. But then we look at this. We have that where it's not into compassionate action. Then we have a person can have kalos, K-A-L-O-S. Without having agathos, he can do good deeds occasionally, but he still be filled with inner conflict and evil. See, what I'm telling you is you got to have both. You got to have both to be an effective action figure. But if we have Jesus' Spirit living in us, then we will strive to embody both forms of goodness, says Stowell. The agathos of the righteous character and the kalos of doing good deeds in our community. Today we'll focus on the word kalos, K-A-L-O-S. It's not enough to simply be a righteous person. We have a lot of good, God-fearing, righteous people in churches today. We have that, but there are times we need to be action figures translating good intentions into good deeds. So let me ask you, what is it that moves a person into taking action? I'm glad you asked me that question. I have three suggestions I want to give you this morning, and we're going to close. So the first one I want you, if you could write in your notes, is first of all, we move into action when we are dissatisfied with our present situation. Y'all agree? Amen? So that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, what is it that the psychologists tell us? This is a quote from a psychologist. We change only when the pain of staying the same exceeds the pain of change. That's pretty good advice. Now, kind of heavy, but it's a good advice. So you all are going through a change. You're getting ready to go through a change. And I understand it's hurtful and it's painful. But you could be action figures through all this. And I'll tell you how in the next 2 points. But what is it? Change is not easy. Especially when it comes to transitions, it's not easy. Whether it be from young to middle age to older to families, taking care of families, it's never easy. And we shouldn't imagine that it was easy for Abraham, nor was it easy for Matthew. I should think, though, that Matthew had the easier time of it. And I'll tell you why I feel that way. After all, he was a despised tax collector. We've talked so many times about the sins of the tax collectors, how they were seen as collaborators with the enemy Rome, and how they used their authority to cheat people and innocent people, and including the poor. We know that story. We know how they were. And can you imagine? Now, this is probably the hardest thing for us to do, but can you imagine, in spite of all their ill-gotten wealth and power, many tax collectors felt dirty at the end of the day? You know, guilt and shame are a horrible and terrible emotion. That can weigh so heavy on one's heart. You see, one of the ugliest incidents in sports history occurred in the 1919 World Series between Cincinnati Reds and the White Sox. The affair is now known as the Black Sox Scandal because it involved the bribery of 8 White Sox players by professional gamblers to throw the series to Cincinnati. The players involved were forever banned from baseball. In testimony before the grand jury, pitcher Eddie Cicotti, one of the 8 miscreants, confessed, "I'm through with baseball. I'm going to lose myself somewhere and never touch another ball. I feel sorry to have brought this disgrace to my wife and children. I'd give $1 million to undo what I've done." Has anyone felt that way before? You would just love to go back, just undo whatever happened, whatever went wrong. You would like to undo it. But you know what? If I look at it, I've looked at it 3 or 4 times, I said, maybe. God knows. No one else needs to know. And it's not rare for people to bring a sense of guilt and shame into a worship service. In fact, you need to come to the hospital for healing, right? But you've done wrong, and you would give anything in the world to undo what you've done. But it's too late. You can't go back. The past is the past. There's only one course open to you: to begin living a new life beginning today. To start over with the determination that never again will you bring that kind of shame to yourself or your families. You know, maybe I'm going to be a little devil's advocate. Is that what they call it? Matthew's heart was already about to burst. Maybe it was with hurt and shame when Jesus walked into his tax office that day. And maybe he was waiting for someone to give him the opportunity to start over. Anybody, somebody to give him a second chance. Maybe he was waiting for someone to give him the opportunity to start over. And Christ made it possible. Jesus made it possible. And Christ makes it possible for all of us to start over. The past is the past. Now the Bible says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." People change when they are sufficiently dissatisfied with their present situation. Number 2, people also change when they catch a glimpse of a better life. That's why we came from California to Arizona. We said, it's not good life in California no more. We're going to come to Arizona. And it's been pretty good so far. It really has. Except our RV is getting a little small right now, but it's enjoyable. I've met friendly people everywhere I go. You know, I've met more Californians here than I've had Arizonans. And I go, wow, this must have been the right choice. You know, I said, but it says advertisers. Now, I know some of you have been exposed to this because we were exposed to it, and we almost lost our shirt in it years ago. But advertisers are experts at tapping into this emotion. They show us a supposedly better life and tap into our insecurities. Years ago, in his book, The Hidden Persuaders, Vance Packer documented... Okay, did I just blow something up? Okay, years ago in this book, The Hidden Persuaders, Vance Packer documented the way in which Americans are programmed to consume, consume, consume. Whether we need or even desire, the products are almost forced upon us, aren't they? He observed that after World War II, American manufacturers were able to produce many more goods than people were consuming. So they began to explore the question, How can we stimulate the American people to buy more? They engaged sociologists and psychologists to teach them how to stimulate consumer buying by creating wants in people that they didn't even know they existed in their lives. You see, these trainers were called motivation researchers. And they taught merchandisers to probe people's subsurface desires, needs, drives, in order to find their points of vulnerability. Now, what the merchandisers identified were the very deepest human longings that all of us have. You're stuck with it. You're born with it. And they are, as an example, our longings for love, our dreams of fitting in and being somebody, our desire for power and our need for emotional security. Once these points of vulnerability were isolated, the psychologist's hooks were fashioned and baited and placed deep in merchandising sea for the unwary customers. See, really quick here, I know we're getting long here, but really quick, Diana, I said, how many fall for those little calls you just won a trip for 3 or 4 days and free? Everything doesn't cost you anything. You know, I'm going to tell you one thing. We had our honeymoon 23 years ago. I says, wow, $99 to go to the Bahamas. I ain't never been there. $99, get a free flight to Florida. Don't got to pay for that. Or do we have to pay a little bit? We had to pay the flight, okay. Then we got to Florida, got to spend the night in a nice hotel. Diane got to stick her water in the Pacific Ocean. Is that it, or Atlantic Ocean? She got, ooh, I'm going to do that. Next morning, we got rushed off to the cruise. Went to the Bahamas. Got in the Bahamas. You ever seen Christmas in the Bahamas? They're wearing mink coats, and it's about 80 degrees. But we got there, and they were doing, you never heard Christmas songs or gospel without a steel drum. Awesome. We got there, but then we said, we're going to try the thing. And they said, well, we'd love to have you here, but you need to be here for this briefing tomorrow morning. Just a walkthrough. Okay, we're talking timeshare. Okay, we did that, we fell for it, we ended up with a lot of debt that we really didn't need. I also, on our honeymoon, she got sick because she ate conch and she was allergic to shell food. So that was a deal for that. But anyway, this is how they work. They get these researchers to find out what is it that we are desire so much in our lives to have. New homes, new cars, new, make myself look good, Botox, whatever. I mean, I don't mean anything if anyone's doing that. That's what they do. They learn these things. And the way they begin to offer us were to offer considerably more than the actual items involved. As Ruth Haley Barton notes in her book, The Truth That Frees Us. When the advertisers have done their work, a car becomes more than just a car. What does it become? It becomes an expression of your truest self. Or a particular hair coloring product becomes more than a beauty product. It tells us how much we're worth. An exotic vacation becomes more than just some needed rest and relaxation. It becomes the panacea for all relational ills. A certain beverage becomes more than just a way to quench one's thirst. It promises adventure and maybe even some community in the midst of all that adventure. Obviously, these manufacturers are trying to sell us much more than a car, a beauty product, or a beverage. They are selling to our hidden needs. People, you know, advertisers know that people change when they catch a vision of something more desirable. Certainly this happened to both Abraham and Matthew. They not only were dissatisfied with their current lifestyle, they knew that if they had the blessing of God on their lives would be a better life. But there is one more reason that people need to become action figures. Number 3, and we'll close with this. Sometimes People change because somebody special has touched their life. Could be a pastor, could be a grandmother. I'm a grandpa and stuff now, and a great-grand first time. Mothers, best friends, Christian brothers and sisters. There are people who have the ability to influence others. And have any of you ever been influenced by a coach or a teacher or somebody special you encountered along your life? Have one little story, we'll close. And if all you are sports fans, you'll remember this story. People around the world have watched in sympathetic respect as the once powerful boxer Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali had become incapacitated by Parkinson's disease. It hurt to watch this once powerful hands tremble and his speech become garbled. Yet he remained an influential public figure. In 1996, the United States paid tribute to Ali's remarkable career by asking him, and you remember this, to light the final torch of the 96 Olympics in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, after Ali's appearance at the Olympics, people from around the world sent encouraging letters and phone calls. And one woman was heard to believe to have said, wrote to say that her husband had become withdrawn and reclusive since his diagnosis of Parkinson's. He rarely left the house, but after seeing Ali carrying the Olympic torch, this man began leaving the home again. He went around proudly announcing that he had Muhammad Ali disease. So in closing, there are special people who touch our lives today and impact us in a way that we can never be the same again. They give us hope. They give us purpose. No one who has ever lived has impacted people's life like Jesus of Nazareth. In fact, he is still impacting people's lives today. Let me ask you a question. Would you like to become an action figure like Abraham and Matthew? If you have, let me start you off with the right step before you can become a good action figure. If you have some guilt or shame that is tugging at your soul, surrender that today. And begin living a new life with Christ. If you know your life hasn't been all that Christ meant it to be, even at this time in our lives, make the same surrender. Let the man from Nazareth, the most special man who has ever lived, touch your life this day, as he has touched so many others through the centuries. Become a person of action today. When Christ says, come follow me, be the first to jump on your feet and go. Amen. Thank you. That's the end of the message today. Thank you so much for letting us be here today with you. I enjoyed it. I love bringing things I know is probably new about my Captain America. Anyone want my Captain America? You can have them. But I really appreciate my wife and I are so privileged to be here today. Rick, if you want to come, I think you have the Lord's Supper you're going to do now. Okay.